Supreme Court lifted its stay on capital punishment. Likely, the first execution would be carried out or Texas. Graham, Allegheny County.
From one particularly resulted from the actual immunization point, but shot yesterday and died in a matter of hours after receiving it.
Came to a grinding halt. And to explain Miller.
Based on, we would expect two deaths per 100,000 individuals over 65 within any 24-hour period. To put it another, of the million individuals over 65 who have been vaccinated, 160 would have died within 24 hours with or without a vaccination.
Tears began showing up for shots, and the program resumed. But it was reported that one of the shots, boss of all bosses, Carlo Gambino. Other Miss Leonard, actress Dame Edinger across the Atlantic Ocean, Clarence Chamberlain. But there was happier news. The last of the Scottsboro boys convicted on rape charges in 1931 in a trial that had been pardoned by Governor George Washington spent 15 years in prison, five on death row, and many of his 64 years as a fugitive.
I can live a normal life and nothing on my mind. Like that I have been, you know, like I'm some kind of this. Because I never did nothing to nobody.
In Sweden, Nobel Prizes were awarded, and the winners were all time a single nation had been so honored. The two best known came from Chicago, with the so-called Chicago School of Economics.
We are on a path, this nation, which if long continued, will lead to the kind of situation that you now have in Great Britain. You have in Great Britain, government spending at all levels is now 60% of the national income. And Great Britain is, as you know, in an enormous financial crisis and threatened very much with the loss of liberties as well as with economic catastrophe. The United States has been following the same road, but we've been about 20 years behind.
Novelist saw a Pulitzer Prize earlier in the year. His reaction to becoming a laureate?
I think I reached an age at which I'm unlikely to be greatly affected by things of the sort. For better or for worse, I might have been more affected 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
There was no Nobel Peace Prize awarded in 1976, but in Oslo, Norwegian newspapers sponsored a grassroots peace prize to be awarded to the founders of the Ulster Peace Movement, Betty Williams and Myreid Corrigan. In November, they received $324,000 to set up a children's center in Belfast. Actual peace broke out in Lebanon as Syrian troops won in and finally separated the warring factions. And there were rumblings of peace for southern Africa as both black and white Rhodesian leaders agreed to talk about implementing suggestions made earlier in the year by Henry Kissinger. British UN Ambassador Ivor Richard was to chair the talks in Geneva.
The object of the exercise is to set up an interim government for Rhodesia between now and the time when it becomes fully independent. Mr. Smith has accepted majority rule within 2 years. Somebody has to run the country in the meantime. There has to be a legal government and an acceptable structure of government. And at this conference, where Mr. Smith's delegation is and the four nationalist delegations are, and Britain is chairing it, it's at this conference that we hope to hammer out that interim government.
But the hammering sounded more like table pounding as no agreements were reached. Shortly, Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith left the stalled negotiations to his foreign minister and flew home.
It's frustrating taking so long. If only people would get themselves organized and get to grips with the problem, we could have had the whole thing over by now. As it is going, this conference at this pace could last for a couple of months. And I think that's been stupid to tolerate, to condone that kind of thing.
Elections made varying kinds of news. Almost 1 year to the day of Francisco Franco's death, Spain announced it would hold elections. Quebec held elections, and the party that called for independence from Canada won. Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau said he would not hold Quebec by force.
Quebecers, like citizens of the other provinces, are proud. They seek personal fulfillment in a free, in an independent way. The central question, therefore, is whether this growth of freedom and independence is best assured by Canada or by Quebec alone. Canadians must think about this brutal question.
Also, reactions to the Carter election varied. Stock prices resumed their dip, and because new waves of inflation were feared, gold went up and the dollar went down. Before the month was out, steel producers raised their prices, and Carter Press Secretary Jody Powell reacted.
I do know that Governor Carter has been watching and following this situation very closely. He is very concerned about steel price increases, both with regard to the possible inflationary effect in this country and the their possible effect upon the OPEC oil decisions.
In Plains, the Baptist Church supported the president-elect by voting with him to admit blacks to membership.
I'm completely satisfied with the church. Action. I'm very proud of our church and think the members did the proper thing, and I believe that our church now will be unified. That's my belief. The pastor's pleased, and the church congregation has spoken very clearly.
More good news came to Plains via former Ambassador Averill Harriman. Would the Russians try to test Carter?
I don't think that's likely. They've got their own policies they want to get. My experience with Brezhnev is he's very direct, and as far as I'm concerned, he's told me what was on his mind and what he wants to achieve. He's quite a different personality than Khrushchev, whom I knew very well, and he was playing games at times, but I haven't ever found Brezhnev playing games.
The court decided New York City acted illegally when in 1975 it had declared a moratorium on $1 billion worth of bonds. At a time when even the city's severest critics in Washington felt it was making progress, it again faced bankruptcy. November brought still another earthquake, this time in Turkey. Death came to artist Man Ray and Alexander Calder, Renaissance man André Malraux, and to actor Jean Gabin, Rosalind Russell, and Godfrey Cambridge. Also noted on the obituary pages of many papers, the death of Smokey the Bear, 26. However, the front pages featured a man who wanted death. The United States Supreme Court had not yet passed on the constitutionality of the death penalty in Utah. It was expected to make a ruling in the case of Gary Mark Gilmore, who had been sentenced to face a firing squad for one of two confessed cold-blooded murders. But Gilmore refused to have his case appealed, which, as the American Civil Liberties Union pointed out, put the state in a strange position.
The ACLU believes that there is a right to have the constitutionality of the Utah death statute tested. Some death statutes are constitutional, others are not. If the state of Utah goes ahead and permits Gilmore to be executed merely because he wants to do so, then, in fact, there is a substantial risk that later on, if the statute is determined to be unconstitutional, then there will have been a homicide committed by the state.
As the state pondered this, it postponed the execution date. The next day, Gilmore and his girlfriend were both found in comas, the result of overdoses of sleeping pills taken in a suicide pact. Both recovered, and Gilmore had a hearing before the Utah Board of Pardons.
It seems that the people, especially the people of Utah, they want the death penalty, but they don't want execution. And when it became a reality, they might have to carry one out. Well, I started backing off on it. Well, I took them literal and serious, and they sentenced me to death, just as if they'd have sentenced me to 10 years or 30 days in the county jail or something. I understood by the Utah law that I don't have to appeal. So I chose not to. I wanted the sentence carried out. ACLU wants to get in on the act, but they always want to get in on the act, the ACLU. I don't think they've ever really done anything effective in their lives. I would like them all, including that group of reverends and rabbis from Salt Lake City, to just butt out. I don't think they, this is my life and it's my death. It's been sanctioned by the courts that I die, and I accept that.
The board upheld the sentence, and against Gilmore's wishes, the month of December witnessed many attempts to block what could become the first execution to take place in the United States in nearly a decade.
Mayor Richard J. Daley is dead. He was pronounced dead at approximately 20 minutes to 4 this afternoon at his doctor's office. He had been stricken apparently with a heart attack shortly after arriving in the doctor's office at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Also, New York lost Liberal Party leader Alex Rose, and Michigan is retiring Senator Philip Hart. Plains, Georgia, however, continued to make the headlines as President-elect Carter began to announce his appointments. Lance and Vance came first.
I've had almost unanimous recommendations around the country and in some instances in foreign countries of Cyrus Vance to be Secretary of State.
Slowly at first, then in a rush, more names were added. Michael Blumenthal, Charles Schultz, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and as U.N. Ambassador, Congressman Andrew Young, who did not like one of Carter's other appointments.
Well, I say that he would not have been my choice, but he is the choice of the president-elect, and, you know, my office was right across the hall from his for the last 3 years, and I always found him a very agreeable fellow to work with. The difference of opinion, I think, with him centers around his decision in the Atlanta school case.
Not only his past record, but his membership in clubs which practice racial and religious discrimination made many critical of Carter's longtime associate, Griffin Bell, as choice for Attorney General.
He has not been treated fairly so far. The major criticism of Griffin is that he had a membership in a private club. Until I started running for president, I also had membership in a private club. And I would guess that if you looked at the present incumbent cabinet and the ones preceding them, many of them had memberships in private clubs. My counsel in the White House happens to be Jewish, Bob Lipschutz. He belongs to the Standard Club in Atlanta, which I don't think has any members who are Gentiles or who are black.
Racial considerations also touched another Carter, Hurricane Carter, who along with his co-defendant was again found guilty, explained his lawyer.
What changed this trial, as far as we were concerned, was the decision by the judge to allow him the state's theory of racial revenge. That theory was not before the jury in 1967. As far as we were concerned, that was a very destructive decision.
Other parts of the world, too, felt the results of elections. In scandal-ridden Japan, the conservative liberal Democrats barely held on to the power they'd kept for 21 years. And in the stormy world of the UN, Secretary General Kurt Waldheim said this.
I accept the decision of the General Assembly with pride, but also with humility. I'm fully conscious of the immense opportunity conferred on me by being elected for a second time to serve the world community in the unique capacity of Secretary General. But I'm also vividly aware of what that privilege means in terms of responsibility, work, and the possibilities of success.
December is a time for reviewing the successes and failures of the year. The world of sports is particularly subject to such measurements. Here is Group W's Bill Bransom of radio station KYW recalling the triumphs and failures of some of the sporting events of 1976.
In sports, 1976 was ticketed to be a special year. It was the centennial of the National Baseball League and the year of the 21st Olympiad. The sensation of the Olympics, a 13-year-old gymnast from Romania, Nadia Comăneci. Kathy Rigby, no novice herself, was as impressed as everyone else at her performance on the uneven bars.
This could be the highlight of the compulsory event. She is one of the technically strongest, best gymnasts that I've ever seen.
Nadia got 10 from the judges, the first ever awarded in the Olympics. One of 7 perfect scores for the tiny competitor. She took home 3 gold medals, a silver, a bronze, and her dolls. The college football bowl games on New Year's Day were highlighted by UCLA's win over undefeated Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, knocking the Buckeyes out of a national championship. Later in January, the pros from Pittsburgh beat the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. The Steelers wrapped it up in the final period.
Now he fires for the bomb, and Lynn Swann going for it. Swann pulls it in for a touchdown! Lynn Swann beat his man on a bomb! Swann got a step beyond Mark Washington, who's been on him all afternoon! 64-yard pass, and Bradshaw was hurt on the play.
Terry Hanratty finished for Bradshaw, but the bomb to Swann had made it 21-10, and the Steelers took the title. The 200th anniversary of the nation's independence also marked the independence of baseball players. The first winning salvo in their battle came in December of 1975 when arbitrator Peter Seitz and federal judges ruled that Andy Messersmith and Dave McNally were free agents. After a running battle, the dispute ended when an agreement was signed between the owners and the Players Association that let players demand a trade after 5 years and a release of their shackles after 6. In hockey, the Montreal Canadiens put an end to the Philadelphia Flyers' two-year tenure as Stanley Cup champions, making their way to the title in the playoffs by beating Chicago, then the New York Islanders, and finally blowing out the defending champions in four straight games. One thing was certain in the NCAA basketball final. For the first time in 16 years, the new champion would be from the Big Ten. And for the first time ever, two teams from the same conference were meeting for the title, Indiana and Michigan. The Hoosiers had been top-ranked all season. They were 31-0, but 3 minutes into the title game, they lost All-American Bobby Wilkerson. However, two other All-Americans, Kent Benson and Scott May, combined for 51 points to give Indiana the win.
Indiana's won it! They're the national champions for 1976! Can you believe it? Incredible! Bobby Knight and Johnny Orr standing here in front of us, shaking hands, Bill Breeder now. Unbelievable, as Indiana's won the national championship, and the Hoosiers have won it all.
1976 marked the return of the Boston Celtics, who, led by Dave Cowens, disposed of the Phoenix Suns in six games to win the NBA title. In the ABA, the New York Nets beat Denver for the title in what turned out to be that league's last playoff. Plagued with financial woes, the league folded, and four of its teams, Denver, Indiana, San Antonio, and the New York Nets, were merged into the NBA. The Summer Olympics saw armed guards at all of the athletes' lodgings, a tragic reminder of the 1972 massacre at Munich. Most of the black African runners left in protest over the presence of New Zealand at the Games, following a tour of South Africa by a New Zealand rugby team, which removed some of the world's great runners from the competition. Once the games began, they belonged to the individuals, though. The American men swimmers were superb, winning 12 of the 13 events. John Neighbor, Mike Bruner, Jim Montgomery were all winners.
It is Neighbor inside 10 meters. Neighbor on a world record pace. The world record is 56.30, and he cut it. A new world record of 56.19. The Americans go 1, 2, 3. Mike Bruner wins it, 59.23. Steve Craig, second, 59.54. Bill Forrester, 59.96, the third.
And it's going to be Montgomery the winner, Babichoff the silver, and Hockey of West Germany looks like the bronze. And Montgomery, Jim Montgomery of the USA, the winning time. It was the first 100-meter freestyle ever swum under 50 seconds.
Just as dominant in swimming as the American men were the East German women. They won 11 of the 13 events, with Cornelia Ender taking four golds.
United States in the lead for the gold in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. Shirley Babichoff stays in front. Here's the drive to the finish. Babichoff hanging on, going to the wall. And Babichoff is the winner. The United States has upset East Germany in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. And Shirley Babichoff has finally acquired her first gold medal.
The young American boxing team took home five golds from Montreal. Leon Randolph, Howard Davis, Ray Leonard, and the brothers Mike and Leon Spinks all won their classes. Alberto Huatarena of Cuba won the 400 and the 800 meters in men's track. He and Lassie Viren of Finland were the only double winners. Viren won the 5,000 and the 10,000 meters. The 400-meter hurdles belonged to the United States.
Gasolinko out in lane number 8. Now here comes Edwin Moses.
And it was. Officially, it was 47.64. Bruce Jenner of the United States won the decathlon, setting a world record in the process. The 400-meter relay team won for the United States, so did the 1,600-meter foursome. The men's basketball team, led by Adrian Dantley, beat Yugoslavia easily to win the championship. Earlier, the Yugoslavs had knocked off the Russians in the semifinals. The Russians won more medals than any nation, repeating their performance in the Winter Games in Innsbruck, where Dorothy Hamill, an American girl from Connecticut, won the winter showpiece, the figure skating. Sheila Young of Detroit took a gold in the 500 meters, a silver at 1,500, and a bronze in the 1,000-meter speed skating event. Peter Mueller was the only American male winner in the 1,000 meters. Bold Forbes won two-thirds of the Triple Crown starting on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs.
Ahead of the stretch, Bold Forbes coming to by a half length. On the outside, on his pleasure, draws alongside, and now he challenges. Elocution is getting through along the rail, he's in a drive. Then it's a mano further back on the slide, gaining. Coming to the wire, Bold Forbes, the leader, with Honest Pleasure driving. It's Bold Forbes and Honest Pleasure. They're going to come to the wire together. Honest Pleasure the outside, Bold Forbes on the inside. Honest Pleasure, Bold Forbes. Bold Forbes passes it, come to the wire. At the finish of Jordan, Bold Forbes. He wins it one length. Honest Pleasure is second. Elocution is third.
Elocutionist won the Preakness, and Bold Forbes came back to win the Belmont. And at Indianapolis, the weather helped Johnny Rutherford win for the second time. It was also the second year in a row the race ended early because of rain. It went 255 miles, and for Rutherford, a little over $1,000 a mile for the win. For the championship of the National Baseball League, it was the Cincinnati Reds and the Philadelphia Phillies in a best of five. After coming from behind to win the first two at Philadelphia, the Reds got to play at home. Trailing 6-4, going into the bottom of the ninth, George Foster and Johnny Bench hit solo homers for the Reds to tie the game. Then came the quietus.
Tommy Underwood, if he can find anything to do right now, I think he'd like to find a strikeout somewhere in that bag of tricks. Rose at first base. Geronimo at second. Concepcion at third. 6-6 tie, last of the ninth. What a ball game. The Reds trying to clean it up in three straight. Phillies desperately trying to hang on. Tommy Underwood ready again. Checks, and here's the pitch. Griffey chops it toward first. Tola bobbles it. The ball game is over.
In the American League, the Kansas City Royals took the New York Yankees to five games. Again, it's the bottom of the ninth in game five. Chris Chambliss homers to win it for New York.
Littell looks him over. Winds and throws, and there's a long drive to right field. This may be the end of the pennant. Let's see, it is up and gone. The Yankees win the pennant as Chris Chambliss hits a home run, and the Yankees win the pennant 7-6.
The World Series was never close. The Yankees are at bat in the last of the ninth of Game 4. Will McEnany pitches to Roy White.
Swung on, high fly ball. The left center should do it. There's Foster, and the 1976 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds. In the ninth inning, the Yankees are out in order as the Reds in this fourth game in sweeping Billy Martin's New York Yankees do it decisively, 4 in the ninth inning, and a 7-2 final score.
The Reds breezed in the series, winning in four straight games. The end of a legendary career seemed to be near in 1976. Muhammad Ali put his heavyweight title on the line against Ken Norton. The place, a packed Yankee Stadium. The decision, not a popular one.
Here is the decision. Judge Bobby Smith scores the fight. 8 rounds, Ali. 7, Norton.
8 rounds, Ali. 7 rounds, Norton.
Judge Harold Letterman scores the fight. 8 rounds, Ali. 7 rounds,
8 rounds, Ali. And it's a very close fight.
Arthur McCarthy scores the fight. 8 rounds, Ali. 6 rounds, Norton.
Ali got the unanimous decision of the officials, but in the dressing room, he was not the same fighter who had taken the title from Sonny Liston 12 years before, and he knew it.
I'm going to be thinking. I don't need no publicity, so I don't have to say this if I don't mean it. It'd be wise to get out now. I don't have nothing else to prove.
Hey, where's you? Are you getting out?
I'll let you know in a few days.
The champion retired and unretired before the year was over. 1976 may just have been the year he lost his touch. In golf, Jack Nicklaus won only two tournaments all year. Raymond Floyd took the Masters, Jerry Pate the U.S. Open, Johnny Miller the British Open, and Dave Stockton the PGA Championship. Judy Rankin was the winnings leader on the LPGA Tour, and she was also acclaimed as LPGA Player of the Year. In tennis, Chris Evert took the crown at Wimbledon, and at the U.S. Open at Forest Hills, she was the outstanding woman player of the year. Bjorn Borg won the men's title at Wimbledon and Jimmy Connors the Forest Hills Championship. Connors beat Borg on four occasions during the year, including the finals at Forest Hills, and was voted the outstanding male tennis player of 1976. In college football, the best brand was played in the Big Eight, and at season's end, four of the eight teams headed for bowl games. Tony Dorsett was the college player of the year, leading the Pittsburgh Panthers to the national title. In pro football, Fran Tarkenton set another record every time he threw the football for the Vikings. In the NFC title game against the Los Angeles Rams, Minnesota's special team turned the game around. The Rams lined up for a field goal early in the game.
Holding the ball is Steve Priest. They're kicking from the 7-yard line. They're going for the three rather than gamble the foot for the TD. As Dempsey waits, Priest hands outstretched. The ball placed down. Kick. It's blocked. It's loose. It's being run back by the Vikings at the 20, to the 30, to the 40, the 50. That's Bryant with the ball, the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Minnesota.
The final, 23-13, Minnesota. And the Vikings headed like lemmings for the Super Bowl against Oakland, a 24-7 winner over the defending champion Pittsburgh Steelers. As the year drew to a close, 25 free agent baseball players were contemplating big money contracts with new clubs, and the battle had already begun for the TV rights for the 1980 Olympics in Moscow.
A life and death question concerned all of us. As 1976 ended, so did the swine flu program. Paralysis was affecting some of those inoculated, and the Center for Disease Control made an announcement.
In unvaccinated people, we see about 8 cases per million of this neurologic syndrome called Guillain-Barré, about 8 per million per year, whereas in the month after vaccination, we have seen 5 per million vaccinees, so that there is an order of magnitude of risk that cannot be explained by chance alone.
This took on added importance since the fall of 1976 had been the coldest in 90 years. Did this mean that those who were predicting a record cold winter would be right? And as usual, there were predictions of a natural gas shortage. And as usual, nobody believed them. Then there were economic questions. Would New York collapse this time? What could be done about an 8.1% unemployment figure? Also, would acceptance come to such as Griffin Bell and to any one of the many Howard Hughes wills? On the silver screen, would the so-called love story King Kong break box office records? Yes, as it began, 1976 ended with questions. And one answer, a man hardly known 12 months earlier, would shortly become the most powerful man in the world. But this, too, spawned questions. Prime among them, what kind of a person was this Georgian who only a year ago had had to introduce himself to Main Street America with the words that were to become famous?
My name is Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president.